Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we all experience highs and lows in this life. At times you feel like you are on top of the world, and at times you might feel like your world has collapsed. And while we all do have our highs and lows, very few people have experienced higher highs or lower lows than the man we hear about in this morning's Old Testament reading, the prophet Elijah. Just before the events in this reading, Elijah had experienced one of the real high points in his life. To give some background, this was about 850 years before the birth of Christ. At this time, much of the nation of Israel had fallen away from the faith and was worshiping Baal, the false god of the Canaanites. To make matters even worse, two of the strongest supporters of Baal worship were the king of Israel, Ahab, and his wife, Jezebel. As a judgment against this idolatry, the Lord had announced through the prophet Elijah that a drought would come over the land. And indeed, that drought came. And for 3 years, there was no rain in Israel. Then after 3 years, the Lord sent Elijah to King Ahab and announced that there was at last going to be a demonstration before the people of who the true God is whom they should follow, the Lord God of Israel or Baal. So there was a gathering on Mount Carmel with Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, and with 450 prophets of Baal. These were the terms of the demonstration. Elijah would prepare a burnt offering for the Lord, and the prophets of Baal would prepare a sacrifice for Baal. Each side would then call on their God to send fire down to burn the offering, and the people would see who was able to answer those prayers. The prophets of Baal went first. From morning to noon, they danced and called on Baal to send fire down to burn the bull that they were offering up to him. Their prayers went up, but no fire came down. Nothing happened. As Elijah observed that day, it appeared that Baal was either sleeping in or was on vacation, because he certainly was not answering their prayers. And then it was Elijah's turn. First, he invited his opponents to soak his offering in water, which they did. Then he simply called upon the Lord, and immediately fire came down from heaven, and the offering that Elijah had prepared was completely consumed by the fire. The people that day saw with their own eyes the reality of the Lord's majesty and might, and also the futility of following Baal. They bowed down before the Lord and worshiped him as their God. That same day, Elijah announced to Ahab that the Lord would now bring an end to the 3-year drought. And that same day, the clouds opened up and the rain poured down. Everything seemed to be going so right. The false gods had been exposed, God's majesty had been revealed, and God's grace had also been revealed in the sending of rain to his people. Surely Elijah must have been thinking, surely this would mark the beginning of a new day for Israel, a return to the Lord their God, a new day of renewed faithfulness to the Lord. But that mountaintop feeling did not last for long. At that time, the laws for the nation of Israel, laws which God himself had given them through Moses, required the death sentence for false prophets in Israel. That law had been neglected for some time, but after the prophets of Baal were exposed as frauds on Mount Carmel, the people administered the law that day by executing the prophets of Baal, who had been leading the nation of Israel away from the Lord. And as we heard in this morning's Old Testament reading, when the king's wife, Jezebel, heard what had happened. As one of the nation's most enthusiastic promoters of Baal worship, Jezebel ordered that Elijah be killed. By her order, within 24 hours, the prophet Elijah was to be dead. And so Elijah, who had just felt like he was on top of the world, suddenly felt like his world had collapsed. He had been filled with great hopes for what might lie ahead, not only for him, but for all of Israel. But now he felt like he was ready for his journey to just come to an end. He felt that so much so, in fact, that he prayed for his journey in this life to end. With his life being pursued, Elijah fled alone in the wilderness, lay down under a broom tree, and prayed, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." So, what was it that brought Elijah down so low? Well, as a starting point, there was fear. For the king's wife to order that you would be killed is enough to put fear into anyone. And indeed, we are specifically told in our reading that Elijah was afraid when he heard that. Fear can exhaust a person, and in this case, Elijah also had another reason to be exhausted. After learning that his life was in danger, we're told that Elijah fled first to Beersheba and then another day's journey into the wilderness. That's more than 90 miles that he fled on foot. So Elijah had fear, and he also had physical exhaustion wearing him down. And he also had discouragement, not only in his circumstances, but also in himself. Elijah had hoped that he would be able to bring about a real turnaround in Israel, but now it looked like he would not see that happen. Instead, here he was, a prophet of the Lord, fleeing in fear. He might have had dreams of how faithful and successful he would be, but now he saw himself having the same shortcomings that we all have. Those are some of the things that we hear coming through when Elijah says to the Lord, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." And some of those things that Elijah experienced, you just might be able to relate to. When we have our low points in life, it can happen for any number of reasons. And just like with Elijah, it's usually a combination of things. Sometimes we might be worn down by fear of the unknown, fear of being alone, fear of failure, whatever your own fears might be. Sometimes we might simply get exhausted, worn down by all the demands and stresses of life in a fallen world. And sometimes we can be brought down by discouragement, growing discouraged with our own circumstances and also with ourselves. Maybe we had high hopes or expectations for ourselves, hopes that we don't see ourselves living up to. And at the same time, we do see the ways that we fall short, the ways that we fail God and the people around us by our sin, the things that we wish that we hadn't done or said, but did, the things we wish we had said or done, but didn't, times when no one would have guessed that we were followers of Jesus by watching us or listening to us. And so when we find ourselves having some of those same kinds of feelings that Elijah had, the question then is, where can we find the hope and the strength that we might not feel at the moment? And for the answer to that, let's look back and see what happened with Elijah. In our reading from 1 Kings, we are told, Elijah lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." The Lord knew that the journey was too much for Elijah, as long as Elijah relied on himself and his own strength. And so the Lord showed Elijah that he did not have to rely on himself. The Lord sent an angel to give him encouragement. He provided food and drink to refresh and strengthen him. The Lord provided for him. Elijah might have given up on himself, but the Lord had not given up on him. We read in Isaiah that those who wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. And here we see that when Elijah didn't feel like he had the strength even to wait upon the Lord, even then the Lord in his great mercy and grace still renewed Elijah's strength. And shortly after this, the Lord also provided Elijah with a co-worker, Elisha, who would be yet another source of support for him. And as it was for Elijah, so it is also for you and me. At times we might be tempted to give up on ourselves, but the Lord never gives up on his children. Look to him and you will see, just like Elijah did, that he can be trusted to provide for you. When you feel like Elijah lying there under a tree, look up like Elijah did and see how the Lord is providing for you. When Elijah awoke and looked up, he saw an angel of the Lord sent to encourage and care for him. Let us also look up and see those whom the Lord sends to encourage and care for us. In some cases, the Lord might send literal angels, whether we recognize them as angels or not. But we do know for certain that the Lord sends us one another. The Lord has given us to each other as brothers and sisters in a family of faith, a family in which we are called to share one another's joys and sorrows, to encourage one another, and to bear one another's burdens. So know that you are not alone. But like Elijah, look up, look around, and see those whom the Lord has provided to be there for you. When Elijah looked up, he saw that the Lord had also provided food and drink for him. We read that there at his head there was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. For us too, the Lord does give us each day our daily bread, all that we need to support this body and life. And even more graciously, he also provides the food and drink that we need for our souls. Listen again to what Jesus says to us in this morning's gospel reading. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." For the life of the world, Jesus gave himself into death on the cross. And now the Savior who gave himself for us on the cross gives himself to us in his word and in his Holy Supper, as there he comes to us personally and freely gives us the forgiveness, life, and salvation that he won for us on the cross. So if you are exhausted, eat of the food that he gives you and be nourished and strengthened. If you're worn down by feelings of guilt or shame, Come to him and be fed with the bread of forgiveness. And if you are afraid, look up and see that Jesus himself is there for you, and hear him say, in the words of this morning's gospel reading, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." If you feel like the journey is too much for you, you're right. It's too much for any of us as long as we are trusting in ourselves and our own strength. But the good news is that our hope is not in ourselves, but in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And nothing is too much for him. Feed your soul with the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and you will not go hungry. In the words of Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." In his holy name, amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.